Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Football Focus Podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2 in Cranston. I'm William Gagan here with Kevin Pomeroy. A lot of good football to talk about this week. Two really intriguing games and a bunch of other good games. So let's dive right into it with our podcast game of the week. Mount Hope at Warwick Vets, and this is the rare winning you're in, losing you're out situation.
Yeah, the Vets is 3-3, Mount Hope is 4-2. Winner is going to get into the playoffs no matter how you look at it, and loser's not going to. So it's a rare situation for Vets because, you know, they haven't been here in a while. I think it's been since 2008 when they've been in a playoff race really at all. And for it to come down to the last day of the season is a pretty big accomplishment at this point. Of course, the real accomplishment that they want to get to is actually qualifying for the playoffs, and it's a one-game season now.
Yeah, and it'll come down to tiebreakers. Right now, Vets is a game back of a couple different teams, but if they beat Mount Hope, they'll move into either a three-way tie, a four-way tie. Any way you slice it, they win the tiebreaker, and they would be in. If Johnston beats Westerly and Vets beats Mount Hope, then Vets is a three-seed in the playoffs. If Westerly were to upset Johnston, then Vets would be the four seed if they beat Mount Hope. So it all comes down to Vets beating Mount Hope. Assuming if that happens, then Vets is in no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, Vets is going to concentrate on what they control, and that's winning and getting in. I mean, they'd rather have the three seed, I think, if they had a choice. But I think they just want to make the playoffs more than anything. And Mount Hope stands in the way, and it's been a hot Mount Hope team as of late. Started off a little rough in the division, and since those first couple games, they've been as good as anybody. So, you know, it's a game that we looked at early on in the schedule when we were trying to predict and see what Vets would have to do in order to make the playoffs. That looked like one that they might be the favorites in or really could take advantage of. And since then, Mount Hope has really turned it on. And now it looks like a matchup between two teams who both, you know, can really claim a stake that they deserve to be in the playoffs. Two teams that have played better than most teams in the division down the stretch. And now we'll go up against each other to see which one is actually a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. The big win for Mount Hope was 2 weeks ago against Coventry. They won in overtime by a point. Yeah. That really kept them in the race, and then they beat Tollgate last week. So now they're looking at it the same way as Vets, where they control their own destiny. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, for Vets, it has been a while. And I was talking to Coach Brian Napa yesterday, and he said that the players, they know what the situation is. They know it's been a while. They know if they win, that they're in, and they achieve one of their major goals coming into this year. So that's one of the interesting things, is that this team has been here in this situation where they've had to win before, and they've come through with wins over Charo and Westerly, and they'll just be trying to do it again with a little more at stake.
Yeah, that's one of the more amazing things about what Vets has done so far this season, is that it seems like they really, really understand what the big games are, when the moment is. And that's obviously very useful, but they've had a few blowout losses. I mean, their three losses have come by a lot of points. I mean, they lost to Johnston last week in a game that they didn't need to win. As it turns out, they lost to Woonsocket and Coventry in games that, looking at it now, they didn't necessarily have to win.
Yeah.
And they've won the ones they had to: Tollgate, Charahoe, Westerly. So they know they have to win this one. You know, will that trend continue? Do they ramp up the energy a little bit more for this one? Because it's a game that means more. And if you look at their track record so far this season, that's what they've done. So you'd have to say they're going to come ready to play, and they're going to put their best foot forward, because we have nothing else to go on except that that's what they've done every single time.
Yeah, you got to believe that they're going to come out fired up, and that part of it is not going to be a problem. If they line up and Mount Hope is better, you know, that might be the case. But Vets, I don't think, will shrink from the spotlight at this point. They will be thriving on this a little bit.
And from what it seems like, they not necessarily could have beaten Johnston last week, but, you know, the score was really lopsided when looking at it at the end, and it didn't seem like it was really that type of game, at least in the first half. Had just a few other things happened, and that says something, I think. If they could hang with Johnston, you know, they can really hang with anybody, and they almost took a lead to start that game, which would have been Johnston's first deficit of the entire season, and then a few things got out of hand, and Johnston did what it's done all year, and, you know, eventually racked up the points and won the game. But yeah, I think Vets is playing with a level of confidence right now that they really think they should be in the playoffs, and they really believe they're one of the best four teams in this division, and maybe even better than that. I mean, I think they kind of see the end result as far, you know, they can go anywhere. I don't think they have an end point right now.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in a lot of different ways, like we've talked about recently. They're running the ball well. They're throwing the ball well when they have to, and defensively, they're rallying to the ball, led by their linebackers, and really making things happen.
And if Vets is going to draw up a blueprint to beat Mount Hope, they can look back at that Westerly game where they played really well defensively, stopped a strong running attack, and they did a lot of really good things offensively. They kind of dictated the pace, controlled the line of scrimmage, and they have the playmakers. TJ Boyajian is, you know, one of the best running backs in the division, and Jesse Sidoma has proved he can make big plays when need be. So that's kind of the blueprint for Vets. That's what they'll be looking to do in this game.
And they also feel the momentum changes. In that Westerly game, Westerly had a shot to really take some command early in that game. Looked like they were controlling the momentum. Vets kind of weathered that storm. Then when they got the momentum, they ran with it. Scored three consecutive touchdowns or whatever it was, and really, really took the game away like that. So I think they have a good feel for the ebbs and flows of the game, and who knows? They might be in the playoffs coming this time next week.
Yeah, and that goes back to the having a sense of big games. I think it's a team that rises to the moment, so they'll have another big one this week. Throwing a little bit of a kink in the works this week for both teams is the kind of funny schedules, because the hurricane came in and closed schools, so the teams couldn't practice. So I know Vets was hoping to get out on the practice field today, and that would have been their first time on the field. So that's, you know, something to consider. It might be a little bit sloppier than usual on Friday.
Yeah, you practice Wednesday, and then you go helmets on Thursday, and you play on Friday, basically.
Yeah, so we'll see. But we are going to take Vets in this one, 26-19, and we think the Canes are going to be in the playoffs.
It'll be fun to talk about.
It will, it will. Let's move on to a big showdown in Division One. It doesn't have the playoff implications of the game we just talked about, but a big one nonetheless. It's for East, for Cranston East, the third straight big game. They host LaSalle, scheduled for Friday at 7 o'clock at Cranston Stadium. And East is coming off just an amazing win last week.
And neither of us were there, which was disappointing. I know. Yes. We're reading about the game, and I know you talked to East coach Tom Santori, and it just sounds like it was one of the best high school football games you could ever want to see. I mean, 51-47 was the final. East won, came back from a 47-22 deficit. Correct. Is that what it was?
Yep.
And trailed by even more than that earlier in the game. I mean, it's just an amazing comeback and a high-scoring affair, which Portsmouth had almost 500 yards, I think, in the first half. You know, running touchdowns, throwing touchdowns, counted for 98 total points. And to top it off, it was a game between two of the better teams in the state, two of probably the top four teams in the state, and ended up having huge playoff ramifications in terms of where these two are probably going to fit into those that four-team playoff in Division One. So just an enormous game, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, and we had talked about going in how it could things could get dicey for East, and I mean, at halftime of that game, that's what it looked like was going to happen. Suddenly East is, you know, if they lose that game, they're 3-2. They lose to LaSalle this week, they're 3-3. All of a sudden you're talking about Thanksgiving being essentially a play-in game. Mm-hmm. East has now avoided that. And with this game against LaSalle, if they win, could very well be in the driver's seat for the number one overall seed.
Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, if they win this game, they'll be 5-1 in the division. Yep. Two games to go. The toughest one that they'll still have in their schedule will be West on Thanksgiving. But East would be the favorite going into that. So if they can run the table from there, East would finish 7-1. LaSalle would already have the one loss. And if LaSalle beats Hendricken at the end of the season, the last game, LaSalle and East would each finish with a loss. East would have the tiebreaker. And amazingly, East would have the number one seed in the state. So it goes from, had they lost that Portsmouth game, to potentially having to win their last game just to make the playoffs, to, if they win this game, basically, you know, being in the driver's seat for the number one seed. All it took was, was one half of football to swing, just maybe missing the playoffs to being the number one team.
Very big swing in that game. So talking about this one, LaSalle comes in, still unbeaten in league play, had the scare against Cranston West a couple weeks ago, and they really haven't had any more trouble since then. They've pretty much cruised. They'll come in as the best team in the state at this point.
Yeah, still undefeated. You know, they beat a Massachusetts team earlier this year. They've scored the second most points in the division. They've allowed the second fewest. I mean, they've just been really, really good. They've been consistent. They've been everything we thought they would be. Their touchdowns come from three or four guys, the big three or four guys that they've had that we know stand out. Anthony Francis, the quarterback, and Josh Morris, their running back, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year last year as a junior. Their two receivers, Ty Neal Cooper and Keon Wilson. I mean, those guys, that group of four right there is probably the most talented group of skill players in the state, and they do pretty much everything offensively for LaSalle in terms of putting points on the board. But they're going up against East, who, like we've talked about crazily, has tons of skill players on their own, and going up against an East team that put up 51 points on Portsmouth last week after Portsmouth allowed, 12
against
to Hendricken the week before.
Yeah.
And we know how Hendricken has a pretty good offense. So while LaSalle's offense has been great and has the skill players, East has a great offense of its own and has proven that they can do it against one of the best teams in the state, which they did against Portsmouth last week. So it might be a shootout.
Yeah, and if it is a shootout where Both of these teams are kind of hitting on all cylinders, then I don't think there's going to be much separation between them. I think East showed that they can really play and score with anybody. It probably comes down to defenses, you know, which team can really step up. LaSalle's defense has played pretty well this year, but has, you know, they've allowed a fair amount of points.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at East, and they gave up, you know, almost 500 yards to Portsmouth and a half last week. So tough to kind of get a feel for what these defenses can do.
But second half against Portsmouth. East played great. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for being able to look yourself in the mirror and say, we're just not getting it done. Being able to self-motivate and come back out and limit a team that, like you just said, put up 500 yards and a half to nothing. I mean, it's such night and day and such a big turnaround that I think if they can just look at that second half and use that as a building block, they have to think their defense is as good as anyone's in the state, despite giving up 47 points.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that drastic. So it looks like a shootout on paper, but both teams' defenses are still really good. So it's a great game. I mean, it's a marquee matchup.
Yeah, definitely. It should be a good one. We're going to take LaSalle in this one. This is actually, I believe, the first time we picked against East this year.
Yeah, we picked him to beat Hendricken. We picked him to beat Portsmouth and the other two big ones. So
take the Rams, but a close one, 42-34. So we do think it's going to be a shootout. Sticking with Division One, we've got Hendricken visiting Barrington on Friday at 7 o'clock. Like we just talked about with Cranston East having kind of a swing game against Portsmouth, this is a swing game against Hendricken. And it's one that, you know, they kind of need to have.
Yeah, Barrington's still alive in the playoff chase at 3-3. I mean, we've kind of excluded them from our conversations about who's going to make the playoffs because the top four seems so set in LaSalle, Hendricken, East, and Portsmouth. But Barrington's still there at 3-3. And if they can beat Hendricken, they're at 4-3. They have a win over Hendricken. And now Hendricken's kind of staggering a little bit. And Hendricken then has to play LaSalle on the final game of the season, which they'll probably be underdogs in, let's face it. I mean, they could certainly win. I mean, we know not to necessarily pick Hendricken over LaSalle, but if Hendricken were to lose that game, then they fall to 5-3, and suddenly Barrington, which would be 4-3 going into their final game of the season, could pick up a win there where they play Portsmouth, and they would have the tiebreaker over Hendricken for the final playoff spot. So Hendricken could lose these final two games, Barrington wins the final two, and we're going from Hendricken being the potential number one seed to missing the playoffs as well. So even as good as Hendricken's been, and they've only had one hiccup, they haven't locked up a playoff spot yet. And in order to do that, they got to beat Barrington this week.
Yeah, it just shows you when you play eight games how much every single game really matters.
Absolutely.
So Hendricken is coming off a really lopsided loss to Portsmouth, a game where it just seemed like everything went bad. Had a week off to regroup, and now they come into Barrington. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they respond, because that was really their first adversity of the year, and now they had a week to think about it. The question is, was that week good, or was that week bad?
Yeah, well, one thing is that through this three-year stretch where Hendricken's been, you know, one of the best teams in the state and obviously won the Super Bowl the last 2 years, they haven't put up two bad games at any point in a row. They haven't done. I mean, they've had bad games during the regular season. Last year, they lost to LaSalle, you know, big in the regular season. I don't recall the score, but they lost by 3 touchdowns. And they don't follow that up with another bad one, it seems like. And having the week off, I think they're very well coached. I just feel like they will be ready for this one. They know what we're saying right now, that they haven't clinched yet, that if they win this, they do clinch, and that if they lose this, all of a sudden they're playing for their lives. So I think that stuff gets emphasized. And I think last week was a little bit of a wake-up call. They talked about how big a game the Cranston East one was. Mm-hmm. They won that one. And I don't know, I'm not, you know, in that locker room all the time, but I would think that that gives you a little bit of an air of invincibility. They probably felt really good about themselves after that East game, went into Portsmouth, who was a little bit, maybe too unheralded at the time, and thought they were going to win. Just thought they were going to go out there and play and win. They'd already passed their biggest test of the season so far in East, and they were just going to roll this team, and they didn't. And I don't think that they can't match up with Portsmouth talent-wise. I mean, I don't think that's the case. They just had a bad game, in part probably because they overlooked Portsmouth. So, you know, that wakes them up a little bit. I would be surprised if they don't use that as a little bit of motivation. You know, the coaches talk to them and say, you have to play tough every week because every week's a battle. You can't take things for granted. And I bet they do come out this week and play tough and get back in the win column.
So we will take the Hawks in this one 28-13. Moving on to another game in D2, we've got Johnston visiting Westerly in the regular season finale for both teams. It's a Friday 7 p.m. game. We thought a couple weeks ago that this was going to be a huge game. This was going to be two unbeaten teams playing for the division title. Westerly kind of stumbled, lost to Vets and lost to Woonsocket. Johnston just kept on cruising and actually clinched the Division 2A title last week. So this game is not as big, but Johnston, I think, will just be trying to, you know, keep the momentum going into the playoffs.
Vets threw a real kink into the plans here.
They did.
Had Westerly won that game, then we would have an actual game for first place in the division with this one. But, yeah, Westerly stumbled, like you said. Johnston's already locked things up, so they don't have much to play for. But, I mean, they want the undefeated season. I don't think they want to go in 6-1 and go into the playoffs on a loss. And I don't think they're planning on resting everybody. The idea we got from, you know, their coach Joe Achardo was that they're going to keep things going. They're going to, you know, they want to win this game. I think they want to simulate one game seasons. It's playoffs. You can't take your foot off the gas pedal. I think that's why some of their scores have been so lopsided. You know, they want to put teams away. They want to simulate the idea of getting into one game season and knowing that no matter what, they have to win that. And if that means putting up 3 touchdowns in a row, when you're already up 2, to make sure you put the team away, I think they do that. So I think a lot of it is reps and just kind of feel and preparing for a Super Bowl run. Because if they don't win the Super Bowl, I don't know if they'll see it as a failure, but I think it'll be a letdown. I think this team believes it's going to win the Super Bowl, believes it can win the Super Bowl, and really, you know, that's its main focus. So I think they do everything towards that, and that means coming out against a good Westerly team and trying to establish that, you know, you're not going to back down to anybody or bench your players because you've already clinched something. I expect them to come out and play hard, and they're the best team in this division, so I expect them to take care of Westerly.
Yeah. Westerly, I mean, I saw them against Vets, and they were having kind of a bad game. They definitely didn't bring their best that day. But they definitely have some talent. They're big up front. They're always big. They have a stable of running backs. I don't think one of them really stands out, but they have some guys who can carry the ball, good quarterback. So they could pose a test to Johnston. But I think if my calculations are correct, Westerly is in no matter what, so they don't have to win. So they may not be going all out full bore in this one, feeling like they absolutely need to get in. But, you know, Johnston, as you said, they might be going full bore. They seem to really just want to finish strong, keep it rolling, and just keep things where they have been so far.
Yeah, I think they just like their situation. I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
They're 6-0 and they've been beating every team by 35, 40 points. But they missed the playoffs last year. The year before that, they lost in the quarterfinals in that brutal overtime, double overtime game to St. Ray's where the team scored 500 points. And so, you know, those are a couple years of not really doing what they want to do as a program. And I think they see the opportunity now, see how good they are, and they don't want to let up for a second. Because if they let up this week, even, you know, because they choose to, if they start benching players or don't go full speed this week, I think you just kind of change the way that you've been playing the whole year and change what you've been preaching and change the way you've been practicing. And I think that might get in people's heads, and you just don't want to implant that at all. You just want to keep going full speed ahead. And if they do that, you know, they're probably going to be the favorites to at least reach the finals and maybe the favorites to win the whole thing in Division Two.
So we're going to take the Panthers again, Johnston 35-13 over Westerly. Sticking with D2, another Friday night game. Tollgate will also be down that way at Cherahoe on Friday at 7. And the Titans are still winless. Cherahoe, 1 win in league play. So it's an opportunity for both of these teams to end the season and league play on a high note. For Tollgate, it just continues to be tough at this point.
Yeah, it's a struggle. I mean, every week is. But this is probably their best chance in their league slate to actually win a game. I mean, Cherahoe has only won once so far. They're just down from last year's team that won the Super Bowl, a little bit of a rebuilding season. So, you know, you better believe Tollgate knows the record. They know that this is one of their final chances to really grab a win. So I get that they come out and, you know, probably attack Cherahoe trying to get that win. I mean, I'm sure they think they can. But Cherahoe's led by Austin McQuaid, their standout running back. But he's really the focal point of the offense, almost to a fault, where if you take McQuaid away, they struggle to do really much else. They can't throw the ball very well. They have a couple guys who switch in and out at quarterback and receiver. They kind of go back and forth. But from what I've seen, and I've seen Cherahoe a couple times, that doesn't really seem to confuse defenses too much. So if you stop McQuaid and they run some quarterback draw, you stop that sort of thing, you really take away what they want to do offensively. That comes across on film, I'm sure. Tollgate can focus on that. Then they might find themselves in a game, late in a game, for the first time in a while.
And Tollgate can look at that Ponegansett game, because they played really well on a lot of running plays and stopped Ponegansett's star, Scott Peterson, on a lot of plays, a lot of carries. He had probably 20 carries for maybe 80 yards. And then on his other carries, he was, you know, 90 yards almost every time, and finished with over 300 yards. So Tolgate needs to stop those big plays. Can't take any plays off defensively. And if they do that, I think they can hang with a Charahoe team that has struggled this year.
But that is one thing about Charahoe, too. While they have struggled, they have shown the ability to get some big plays. Mm-hmm. They scored against Johnston on two big long runs. They scored against Vets on a long run. I mean, they've shown the ability, while not being able to do things consistently, to once in a while break through the line of scrimmage. And once they do get to that second level, they have pretty good speed, and they've been able to outrun their opponents. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do think that's a big point of emphasis, too, stopping the run and stopping the big plays.
Yeah. We're going to take Charahoe in this one, in a close one, 19-12 over Tolgate. In our last game to talk about, we've got Pilgrim visiting St. Ray's on Saturday at 4 o'clock at Paraso Field. And for Pilgrim, it's been rough the last couple weeks. Their schedule, you know, it didn't start good. I mean, they got off to a rough start, but those were, the way it turns out, teams that are actually at the bottom of the division. And Pilgrim really didn't have its feet under it at that point. Now the Pilgrim has kind of gotten things a little more under control. They're not making the same mistakes they were. The competition has gotten significantly better, and now they play a St. Ray's team who's going to be gunning for the number two seed.
Yeah, they'd love to have that schedule reversed. Yes. So they're playing their best against some of the weaker teams in the division. But yeah, St. Ray's is good. We talked about St. Ray's all season. They played Hendricken in the first week of the season, and we thought the game was going to be close. It was close for a while, mm-hmm. and obviously, you know, we know how good Hendricken is. So that's the kind of talent St. Ray's is working with. I think they have Super Bowl aspirations. So, like you said, another real, real tough game for Pilgrim. On the bright side, you saw Pilgrim last week, and, you know, especially in that second half, just, you know, didn't give up and started to look a little more crisp as time went on.
Yeah, and it was interesting to watch because Rodgers, they played their subs. You know, it wasn't their first string. But like Tom O'Connor said, the coach for Pilgrim executed. And whether they're playing you know, second stringers or first stringers, the execution is the important thing. And yeah, is it a little easier against second stringers? Definitely. But Pilgrim wasn't making the mistakes. They weren't you know, just struggling to get lined up right. They were, you know, on point, executing, running their plays, playing well defensively, and that's something to build on, even though it's another tough challenge this week.
Yeah, we've talked about it in the past, but it's little things that keep you closer in some of these games. You still may lose, but you're not going to lose 42-0 or something. It keeps you in games if you're not committing the penalties, if you're not fumbling snaps, if you're running the plays the way you know how, and even if the defense stops it for a 3 or 4 yard gain, that's better than stopping it for a 5 yard loss or a fumble or a false start penalty. I mean, there's a million things that can go wrong, and if you cut those out, then you start to see the scores kind of even out and come towards the middle, regardless of how a little bit below some of these teams you are in talent level. So, you know, they do that, and like you said, it looks like they did in the second half last week. They can probably keep it a little bit closer against St. Ray's than even some of the other teams have this year. But St. Ray's is a Super Bowl contender in Division II, and right now Pilgrim is winless in Division II, yeah. So there's a contrast there.
So we will take the Saints in this one, 26-14. And we will talk about one more game around the state, as we always do. We've got a big Division III showdown between Middletown and East Greenwich. That game is at East Greenwich on Friday at 7 o'clock. Middletown is unbeaten and has just dominated everybody. And East Greenwich is right behind him in the standings and could sneak up there with
the
win.
Second time we've talked about a Division III matchup recently.
Yeah, we're turning over a new leaf over here.
We're branching out. But Middletown, like you've said, has just dominated the competition. And they've already played 7 league games. So they're 7-0. This is their last league game of the season. They win this, they polish off their undefeated season, you know, clinch the number one seed, all of that. If EG wins this, for whatever reason, EG's only played 5 games, Middletown's played 7. But if EG wins this, now they're in the driver's seat for that top seed in Division III. And it's very, very top-heavy there. You have 3 teams that have kind of separated themselves with Moses Brown, EG and Middletown, and not a lot else. So beating one of those other 3 teams when you are one of those 3 teams, I think, is a huge step. But if Middletown dominates this game like they've dominated everybody else, we might really be able to declare them Super Bowl champions right about now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the podcast. We hope you can get out to a game this Friday. It should be a lot of good stuff. Yeah. If you're in Cranston, head over to Cranston Stadium. If you're a Warwick football fan, Vets will be the place to be. Lots of good stuff all around the state. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back here next week. Take care.